Centuries of passion.
I thought you were going to say centuries of porn.
Here at last, new Thrill Wonder 3D. I'm just reading the shit off of your sweater.
Yeah, I bought this from Universal Studios.
I forgot the name of that animal. The swamp thing or something. No, yeah. It's the swamp animal.
It came from the Black Lagoon.
That's the one.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, that's what I'm wearing.
Classic. Anyway. A classic.
Classic magic lantern. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode, a special, special episode, more special than the last one. This is, I've been waiting for this for a long time to do this film, and I'm your host, and Andrew's also your host. I am Vartan. He is Andrew. Welcome to the Magic Lantern.
Welcome, folks. Thanks for joining and listening. It is Saturday, and we are in a remote location. A different location. We like to move around, shift it around a little bit. This is a nice setting. Very beautiful place you found.
Yes.
So for those who don't know, Vartan always finds this amazing location. It always is a little bit different. This is probably the fourth location we're doing our podcast in.
Yes.
Until we find a somewhere more stationary, somewhere more permanent.
More suitable for us. Yeah. And
we're like traveling banshees. We go around to different locations.
We're a vaudeville act.
Yes. And speaking of vaudeville, today we're going to be talking about Camille François van Varenberg. Well, his full name.
Yeah.
If I say the first two, you'll know who it is. But that's his official first name. But he's professionally known as...
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude.
That's Camille right.
François van Varenberg.
Cousin Jack, I know he's your favorite actor. I know you're listening. And one day we're going to do an episode live from your living room. But not today. Today we're remote and we are doing this Jean-Claude Van Damme episode.
From your most intimate setting, we will speak sweet nothings about JCVD to you.
JCVD and his career. And the movie we are doing. What is this movie called?
Well, let's talk about the muscles from Brussels first. Well, why don't you take it away? This is your pick. This was your... You had a special place in your heart for this, specifically this film?
I did. Because growing up as a child, as a kid, I watched Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, and I loved all of them. The movie we're doing, by the way, is Legionnaire, and this is the first of many movies of Jean-Claude Van Damme's to go straight to DVD. This is around the time he got blacklisted from Hollywood, and that was after the movie Time Cop, where it is reported... Jean-Claude Van Damme, he even said it himself in some interviews, that he was offered a 3-picture deal by Universal for $12 million per film. But JCVD declined that offer.
Oh.
He wanted $20 million. Why? Who was getting $20 million a film at that time?
Chuck Norris?
No.
Stallone.
Jim Carrey, of all Jim people. Carrey. He... wanted the same salary as Jim Carrey.
With Jim Carrey, huh?
His movie Time Cop did over $100 million, and this is 1990s money, so it's $3-$4 a ticket back then. And JCVD wanted Jim Carrey money. He did not get Jim Carrey money. Instead, he was blacklisted by Hollywood, even going as far as to be offered a role in Fast and the Furious, and he was declined because of Vin Diesel, that motherfucker. We could have seen Van Damme.
Oh, that could have been him?
Well, he could have been one of the characters Fast 7 or 8 or whatever. But that motherfucker, Vin Diesel, blocked the greatest martial arts actor, or one of the, from appearing.
If you ask Steven Seagal, he'd beg to differ. Yeah, I watched a couple interviews.
One specifically
on Arsenio Hall. They were both, JCVD and Steven have been on there.
Yeah.
And they don't like each other.
They don't.
There's also these funny videos where you think there's this tension between him and Dolph Lundgren, but that's actually not a real video.
No, or they love each other, yeah.
That was kind of like more of an act. Have you seen that video? Like they're shoving each other.
Yes, I have, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of elaborated and explained that that was just something that they were praying for because they were about to release either Universal Soldier or they were working on making something. But why am I even talking about this character? You know everything about him. Take it away. I'm just going to nod. Well, I won't nod. I'll make mm-hmm sounds so people will know I'm still here. But if I come up with something, I'll mention it. Well, maybe something you didn't know. I'll throw this one out there. There was a film that was released in November, maybe a documentary about him called The Bipolar Belgian.
Yes, he is bipolar. He was diagnosed bipolar.
I can't throw anything by you because this is your field of expertise. Yeah. So
a lot of cocaine, man. Cocaine's a hell of a drug, and it can possibly get you bipolar.
Possibly can.
Yeah. Drugs and heavy, heavy drugs, which he was
possibly
on.
Possibly can, possibly will. Yeah.
But we'll get to all of that. We'll get to all of that.
Yes.
I'm so excited. I got the Dunkin' Donut coffee in front of me.
I noticed.
Would you like a sip?
It's such an iconic bottle, too, the orange color and everything. I'm okay. I've already had my coffee. What I wanted to ask you is, did we mention the name of this film? Or were
The Legionnaire.
Okay. Yeah, we were keeping people in suspense for a moment.
This is 1997, I believe. Yes?
The film, 98, 97?
Went straight to DVD.
Oh.
Shot on location in Morocco and North Africa. And
so shot on site of where this place is actually taking place.
Yeah, Morocco. Yeah, the deserts pretty cool. And shit. Yeah. So on location shot.
That's great. Right,
yeah. And we'll get to the story, which we're going to break this up into two parts.
Oh, shit. I forgot we're going to break it into parts.
Yeah.
Go on.
Did you not do your homework, my friend?
I relied on you on this one. No, I'm joking.
Just the part about legionnaires and what they are, French, whatever. But we'll get to that. First, I want to go through Van Damme's career up until the point of making this movie that goes straight to DVD. Yes. Okay? And everything after this film is all downhill. It's just a fucking train wreck after this film comes out. His career is in shambles. He's coked up. He's on his fifth marriage. And he does not revive until we get to 2008. Beautiful film, JCVD. That's the film. Literally, the film is called JCVD.
That was a great film.
Yeah, a little meta there. Yeah.
Yes.
A meta film, you know.
Because it's loosely based off of an event that happened to him.
Yeah, it's loosely based. You know, like a lot of actors have been doing this the last like 10, 15 years. There's the Malkovich movie, right? There's the Nick Cage movie that came out a couple of years ago, you know, where they kind of play themselves, a version of themselves in an alternate universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, JCVD's life. One can't help but notice that, you know, you convey of empathy. There's a bit of empathy towards someone who had a potential to make much more than what he did. And because of, you know, botched deals, messed up deals, he missed his opportunity. But one would even say he actually fulfilled the American dream. Someone who came here, you know, he wasn't exactly fluent in English. And he made a success. He made much more than some of us who were born and raised here. So I would say it was a success story.
Yeah.
But the way it's portrayed, the way his demeanor is, sometimes you're like, this poor soul, he's going through a lot. He must have gone through a lot too.
Yeah.
I'll tell you an interesting story. I don't know if this is true or not.
Yes.
I was driving down PCH once, and you know, there's a gas station there in the corner somewhere, and this beautiful red Ferrari was parked there. And this gentleman that looked blazed as hell, just standing right next to it, filling up gas or I don't know what. And I could have sworn it looked like him.
It was JCVD.
Yeah, hands in his pocket.
Yeah.
Somebody else must have been filling his gas. He didn't care. I mean, this gentleman
Coked
was...
out.
He must have been. This gentleman clearly did not care what was going on with the filling of the gas situation.
Did he talk like this with the accent?
I was driving. I just drove past.
Ah.
Yeah. Had I looked closer, I might have just ended up getting into an accident and gone off the cliff of the PCH. You know, those hills are so close to the ocean.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That was maybe my first encounter.
He could have been.
Have you ever had a since you're a bit like, you know, you've done your research with him? Have you ever, you know, like wishful thinking, seen him somewhere, or like someone that looked like him, like, hey, I saw him, there he is. You have?
No, I have not. No, okay. If he's one of the few actors, if I did see him, I'd probably be starstruck.
Wow.
So there's a few I've seen actors. I mean, I live in LA.
Such a friendly guy. I mean, from his interviews,
I've seen a lot of actors. I've been at a restaurant where Alec Baldwin was next to me, and what I thought was Robin Williams that one time. But I was never starstruck. I was like, that's cool. That's cool.
You know? Jim, for me, probably it would be Jim Carrey.
Yeah, that guy too. I mean, I would be like, oh, that's cool. But no, if it was JCVD, I'd be like, oh man, can I get a picture with you?
Yeah.
And then I'd send it to everybody. Yeah. I'd post it online.
I used to have a poster. It was a promotional offer for the first week that Double Impact was released.
Oh, beautiful movie.
It was a picture, and it was signed by JCVD. I don't know. I keep saying Jean-Claude Van Damme. You know, it was signed by him. I don't know which one, him or his double, but one of them signed it.
Jean-Claude Van Verenberg. Did I say that right?
That poster. Yeah, like Jean. Well, I think so. Jean. Yeah, he has a.
Yeah.
It's a long name. Francois. Yeah. There's a Francois on there. There's a Van.
You think I should do this whole episode in Van Damme's accent?
No.
Like I could do it like this. And
no, get you so know, much hate
welcome
mail
to the show. My name is Jean-Claude Van Damme. Bonjour, mon amis. Anyway,
it's your episode. You do whatever you want.
It's my world.
It's your world.
All just
today's
living in it.
JCBD is your world. Well, this is the second podcast we're doing on him. Yeah, the first one was a good one. It was one of my favorites because
Cyborg.
We were cracking up, and that one was truly a remote one. I was working from my loft. You were working from home, from your garage. It was we weren't face to face this in an intimate setting.
With a couple of bottles of wine.
We're in a cabin right now somewhere.
We've come a long way since that episode, and I promise.
A year ago. It was almost a year ago. That's amazing.
Yeah, almost a year ago.
I'm amazed.
I promise there will not be another JCVD episode for the foreseeable future, because I am going to cover a lot of his career. And for me, I think the man is a damn genius. Okay?
You said that about Nicolas Cage too. I feel like every actor.
Nicolas Cage is the greatest actor ever. But JCVD is a genius. Why is he a genius? I'm going to give you some names, my friend.
Oh, go on.
I'm going to give you some names. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Chuck Norris.
Steven Seagal. Give me another.
Sylvester Stallone.
Well, not Stallone. No.
Jason Statham.
Are we
mentioning the 90s action stars?
Besides Stallone, what do these three, the kung fu guys,
the
karate kung fu guys, and Arnold.
Are we throwing in Jet Li and Jackie Chan?
No.
Okay, sorry.
The beefy
You tell me what
actors,
you want me to say.
What do they have in common? Those three I mentioned, Seagal, Arnold, and Chuck Norris.
They played in Expendables.
Besides that.
Okay.
Seagal was not in Expendables.
Expendables 2.
No, he was
not. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
He wasn't in it. He was offered or they wanted to, but it never happened.
They were all making films at the time.
They were not dirt poor when they got their big break. And who was dirt poor? It was Jean-Claude Van Damme. He was dirt poor when he got his big break. Mm-hmm. And a system chewed him out, used him, abused him, gave him the light at the end of the tunnel where he could have been financially free and been the greatest martial arts actor of all time, but he blew it. The system chewed him out, and he fucked up with his decision.
Now, granted, this is the very same system we're trying to take advantage of and make success out of. So let's...
Just like Robert De Niro...
Let's continue to talk shit about it.
Robert De Niro in Copland says it to Stallone's character, you had your chance and you blew it! You blew it!
Wait, which movie was this again?
Copland.
Copland.
You remember the scene?
Copland, that was... De Niro,
De Niro and Copland. Stallone, Copland.
And Ray Liotta, right?
Was Ray Liotta was in it, but Harvey Keitel. And he goes, you had your chance and you blew it. And that's what Jean-Claude Van Damme did. He had his chance, but they chewed him out. They spit him out. Poo.
Just like that. Just like bad, like that. Bad muscles. Poo.
And
what is this? Send it back.
Yeah. So, okay. Let me start from the beginning. Okay.
Are we talking about the film or the history of... Yeah, you do this.
He was born in Belgium, right? Let's start from the hospital. He was born.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No. We're not going that far back.
Where he was conceived. That's where we're starting.
What position he was conceived in.
That could be important. It could have been...
While
the splits were happening, because we all know he's very famous for those world-famous splits. That's a phenomenal picture. Have you seen him doing splits? In midair.
Yeah, that's a commercial.
On trains. Like he's holding on with his legs from trains. Yeah,
I cannot get his mother out of my head now doing the splits while he's getting conceived. Or his father was doing the splits while Van Damme was being conceived. No, we're not going that.
Knock on the door from Jean-Claude.
We're not going that far back. We kid. Jean-Claude, if you're listening, we kid. We love you. The reason I'm doing this is because I'm in awe of your
Can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine him gracing us with his presence?
I cannot. I would probably faint and shit myself at the same time if he walked into this room.
I'd serve him waffles, and that would probably be racist, but it would be like... Hey,
Belgian waffles from Costco.
Eggos. Close enough. I'd spread Nutella chocolate on it so it could be just like a Belgian waffle. Those are some good shit.
Yeah.
my childhood breakfast. I loved it. Scrumptious.
Okay. All right. Let's.
Shall we delve into? Well, tell me about, like, do you know where he's from? Like, which part of Belgium? No, that was it. Like Brussels or?
He's from Brussels. Or
Brussels.
I
don't know if you remember this, but we have been to Brussels.
I have been to Brussels. Well,
we went.
Yes.
We went to Brussels, and it was employee day, so there was nobody there in the city. The city was to us.
Brussels was one of the boringest cities in Europe I have ever been to. It was not
boring. We gotta give it a chance.
It looked like downtown LA, but everybody spoke French.
Yeah, well, the population's about, 2-3 million?
Nothing special about Brussels.
No, maybe even like 1 million.
Bruges was cool.
Oh, Bruges was awesome. I think everybody on that day had traveled to Bruges.
Yeah. In Bruges.
Oh, we're going to do that film one day.
One day.
Bruges was a great great city, yeah.
So he was born in Brussels. So just double check.
Right in the heart of it, yeah.
He was born in...
the capital of the European Union, I believe.
He was born in Berchem Saint Agathe. That's the hospital he was...
You found the hospital?
It's on Wikipedia. Okay. Oh, no, that's a municipality. Sorry. That's where he was born, in Brussels. Okay. So let's dive right in. I'm going to do this by memory. I'm not going to pull up anything to read because it's just too much. So all of this can be found in the book, The Last Action Heroes by Nick de Semlion. He wrote this book and I read the whole book and it's quite interesting.
This was a book about him?
It's about the last, it's called Last Action Heroes. It's about all the action movie stars that started off in the late 70s. All the way to the 2000s, starting with Stallone, Arnold, Van Damme, Chuck Norris, all those guys, and Jackie Chan and all those. It's a great book, great read, very fascinating. Some of it's from there, some of it is from interviews I watched online, but here we go.
So, I love how we advertised a book in this one. Yeah. We usually say, like, go check this movie out, but I like that. Maybe we'll start to... the book reading.
No, don't get too far.
Got me excited here. Oh,
but yeah, so like, just like, so Van Damme comes to Hollywood in the early 80s, just like Nathaniel West's book, The Day of the Locust, where everybody was coming to Hollywood from middle America, but in this case, it's the 1980s and it's international and everybody's coming to Hollywood to find their careers. But what awaits them is rioting downtown, and Californians that have moved to California just to die.
Yeah, you mentioned that as well. This isn't the first time. I was trying to make the connection to...
I just connected it.
Okay. I missed it. My apologies.
Okay. Well, I didn't go to school, all right?
No. I just wanted to... The locust one, I was, because I kept thinking about the Oscars. I thought maybe you were connecting it to the Oscars that's coming up.
I don't know.
Or just Hollywood, because of the fact just that we live in
LA. Just the Hollywood system. And if
we live here.
Another book, Day of the Locust. If you haven't read it, go read that book. It's
definitely on my to-do list, yeah.
It's a good book. It's about dreams that are shattered in the Hollywood system.
There's the sense of the grotesque, I think, in that as well. We talked about the grotesque in the last episode. In the Day of the Locust, there's a moment there where one gets his leg broken. I think there was a film that got released. He gets trampled on and his leg gets broken. Yeah. Cool stuff.
I haven't seen the film. I read the book.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get started.
Let's do
with Van Damme's career, and then we'll get into Legionnaire. So he comes in the early 80s. He's a kickboxer, professional kickboxer. He's had professional fights. He's 19, 20 years old. He wants to... come to L.A. to make it in Hollywood, you know, not a word of English, comes to New York, finds his way to Los Angeles, takes some extra parts here and there. But the first thing he does when he gets here, he says, hey, who's the biggest kung fu karate star there is? It's not Arnold, it's not Stallone,
it's Chuck Norris.
It's Chuck fucking Norris.
I got it right this time.
Yeah, it's Chuck Norris. So he drives to Chuck Norris's house. Van Damme finds Chuck Norris's house. He drives to his house. The nerve on who the fuck would do that? Who would have the balls to just go to an actor's house, knock on the door and say, hey, I'm here?
Yeah.
So he does, and Chuck and his security or his bodyguard or his friend were there. They run into Van Damme in front of Chuck's house, and Van Damme's like, I'm here to, you know, work out with you. I want to be in your movies. So Chuck goes, okay, motherfucker, let's go. You want this? All right, I'll give you some of Chuck. I fought fucking Bruce Lee and got my neck cranked and broken. You know, can you take this in the way of the dragon? And, Van Damme says, okay, let's do it. So they work out. Van Damme is fucking dying within 30 minutes to an hour of the workout. He can't handle any more of it, but he keeps going. So they love his moxie. They love his spirit, Van Damme's spirit. So Chuck says, okay, let's use him as a runner. Okay, so runner would be like, somebody's little bitch. You know, go get this, go get that. And they kind of spar and train on him, beat the shit out of him. He's this little kid, but he's
there's video clips of this, right?
There you can see it on YouTube. Chuck doing interviews and working out with young Jean-Claude Van Damme. In the meantime, Van Damme is taking on extra roles. You can see those on YouTube. And he's taking on a few minor roles here and there until finally he gets he plays bad guys the first couple of movies he's in. I'm not going to mention the movies. I've mentioned it in the other podcast. But then he gets the movie, which is probably the greatest mixed martial arts movie of all time, better than anything the UFC has to offer. And what's that movie called?
Bloodsport.
Bloodsport. That's right.
Yeah.
Based on That's the true one. Story of Frank Dukes, who's got the fastest roundhouse in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, they clocked it. They clocked it with the...
Oh, really?
I don't know. But that's what the movie says at the end. At the end of the movie, a little thing comes up.
I'm so gullible in this episode. Yeah. I don't know what I'm getting into.
It says
Frank Dukes's
kick was clocked in at 72 miles per hour or something like that. And it's the fastest kick ever recorded in history. So they used a little baseball radar thing that they clocked Frank Dukes's kick. So anyway,
that's the one where his brother gets his back broken or something, right?
No, that's Kickboxer.
Crap.
That's another one. So he makes Bloodsport, doesn't get paid much for Bloodsport. he gets paid $25,000 for Bloodsport.
Which for starring in that movie.
For starring in that fucking movie, the greatest mixed martial arts movie, a legend of a movie. Everybody
Imagine
knows
the royalties,
this movie.
All that stuff you could have gotten.
Millions and millions of dollars, internationally known. Everybody knows Bloodsport, and all Van Damme gets... And Forest Whitaker is in that movie as well. All he gets is $25,000 to star in that movie. And by the way, he took that movie and he fucking edited that movie, okay? Van Damme sat in the room before Final Cut Pro and computers came out. He spliced film and he edited Bloodsport and he made it watchable, okay? That's what Van fucking Damme did. That's why he's a genius. And he made that movie. He did the same for Cyborg.
He dissected the meat out of the shell, just like a muscle.
Yeah. I feel like muscles. I'm going to tone it back a little bit. I feel like I'm too excited for this episode.
No. Yeah. Build the fuel. Build it. Would you like me to add gasoline to that fuel? Flames.
pour gasoline all over.
The flames of the Legionnaire emblem. Flames upon.
Yeah.
Well, this film is about the Legionnaires.
I'm not done with my Van Damme story
yet. Go for it.
Yet.
Finish.
Let me finish. And then you can start with the Legionnaire films. Okay. So he gets only $25,000 for that movie. Then he makes Kickboxer. He makes Cyborg. And he makes the movie where he's in prison. Fuck, I forgot the name of the movie. He makes
Death Warrant. Right.
Double Impact. All of these, he's only getting chump change. Nothing. $75,000.
Lionheart.
Yeah, he's not getting much. And I think
why
it was,
is that? Why would they not give him more? Like at least just, six figures.
He hasn't, because he's a young man. He's 27 years old. All he wants is a job. He wants to go from job to job, but all he's getting is $25,000 to $75,000, which is not a lot. I'm fucking carpenter makes more than that. A guy working at a gas station would make $25,000 a year, probably. Maybe. I don't know. Nothing against those guys.
So he's just... Yeah, they're not getting them good offers for the films.
He probably has a bad agent, or he's just saying yes to everything. So he's also in Predator somehow, but he ends up leaving that Predator, the movie. He ends up leaving that movie because... he had other movies that he had to get to.
Wow, that would have been close, because that would have been the first time.
He was too small to play.
Two major action stars working together.
Yeah, he couldn't. He didn't like the suit, kept complaining, so they brought in a taller guy. They kind of...
he was going to be the monster?
The monster. Yeah, he was in the prey. He's going to be the monster. So finally, he gets his big break. He gets about $600,000 for, I think, Death Warrant. He gets $600,000. And which is quite a bit of money up. And then it leads into the movie Street Fighter, which was shot for about $36 million. He gets $8 million for that movie and a bunch of movies. So from like 92 to 95, he makes about $40 million, ending with Time Cop. And what happens when he makes Time Cop? He wants Jim Carrey money, which is $20 million per movie, but the studio says no, $12 million, but he wants $20 million. So the studio's like, no, go fuck yourself. No, we're ending this. So he goes on to make The Quest, which he writes, directs, and Roger Moore is in it.
He does make Time Cop. So what? No, he comes back and does
after
it afterwards?
Time Cop.
Oh,
after Time Cop.
After Time Cop, got it.
He does The Quest. It's kind of a Bloodsport kind of movie, and in
Sorry to cut you off. That's also directed by the same director as Legionnaire, isn't it? Peter McDonald.
Quest? I think it's directed by Van Damme, if I'm not mistaken. No, I could be wrong. Let's look it up.
I think I looked it
up. The Google machine will tell us.
Peter McDonald did Quest. He did Rambo, Tango and Cash. Same guy. Or unless he was like an assistant director to something.
The Quest, 1996 film, directed by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Peter McDonald wasn't part of the project?
He might have been. I don't know.
That's why you can't really trust Google too much.
It was directed by, I remember this.
It's on his portfolio, but who knows? Maybe he was
a
coffee guy. I don't know.
Maybe he did the cinematography. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Van Damme directs The Quest. And if you watch The Quest, it's not much of a movie as far as story goes. It's really weak. But the fight scenes, the choreography, it's amazing. Really good. You know, you could just skip that whole fucking movie and just go to the fight scenes.
That was made prior to The Legionnaire, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was made prior to The Legionnaire. And this is his downfall because he directs The Quest, doesn't really do much, you know, doesn't make a dent, you know. And he's trying to be different with these movies that are coming out. And then Legionnaire, he throws not a one kick, not one. He throws some punches.
In Legionnaire?
No kicks.
He does do a kick.
He doesn't do a kick.
I found the scene. He does a kick.
He does a kick?
Yeah.
I don't.
It's more like a. Think of it like Ryu or Ken from Street Fighter kick. Like the downward sweeping the leg kick kind of kick.
Oh, okay. But there is no Jean-Claude split in the air, like a roundhouse kick.
No, but he does extend his leg. That's and impacts action upon another. So really? That does count.
Okay. All right. But it doesn't count because it's not a roundhouse kick.
But I remember somebody, maybe it could have been you years ago, that said he does not do a kick in this film. And I found one.
I don't think he does. I still don't. I just watched it recently. Did I miss that scene?
German dude he's fighting against?
Yes.
Yeah, he kicks him.
Okay.
He gives him a kick.
Okay. I got to rewatch that. Maybe the version.
When they're bullying Guido. Remember that?
Maybe the version I saw didn't have that kick in it. So anyway, he makes The Quest, and then he makes Legionnaire. Legionnaire, the studio decides, hey, he's not bankable anymore, and we got this fucking movie on our hands. It's a big movie, a lot of extras, shot on location. We can't release this. Let's just fucking release it on DVD, see what happens. And it's the beginning of the end of his Hollywood career. He's still big in Europe, overseas, the international scene, but in mainland USA, he kind of becomes what Seagal is, which is kind of a joke, which is very, very sad. And he has drug problems, becomes suicidal, and his career is revived with JCVD in 2008, right. And Expendables Part 2. He plays Jean Valjean or some shit like that. So there, yeah, that's a little breakdown of Jean-Claude Van Damme's career. Take it away, Andrew, with Legionnaire.
Yes.
I'm going home now.
All right. Oh, that's great. We learned a lot about JCVD. Really, most of the stuff I've learned about JCVD has been from you. And I trust your research. You're obsessed with the guy. Not obsessed, but like you've done your research to learn about this action star as much as you can. And you know, praise to him. It's kind of like the American Dream commentary. You know, you come here, try to make whatever you can out of it. Now this Legionnaire, the start of the end, yes, if you will. It dates back to the 19th century. The way the
1920s,
the soldiers and everything. No, the history of the Legionnaires.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the movie. Okay.
This film starts in the 1920s. The setting is in 1920s Marseille, right before they're going to go off to be recruited to Africa. But before they do, I'll throw in a backdrop. Just a little bit. When I was telling you about the emblem, they got the Legionnaires who hold their emblem, which is like a seven flame thing. You could see it on a lot of these berets that the French army holds. When you see a man with a French beret and an emblem of a seven flamethrower or seven flame, what have you, that's kind of like the SWAT team. These guys were the recruits. This is established by Louis-Philippe, King Philippe, who recruited these. They called them the Foreign Legionnaires, the Foreign Legion, which was these rabble-rousers, man. These recruits were not actually French nationals. They were just anybody who can be recruited to start devoting themselves to the Legion, no questions asked. It was a way to impose the colonial will upon everywhere that they had settled. So Africa was one of them.
Once
you're in, you have to do a term. Usually you can't leave, at least not unless you fulfilled the contract or something, have you. But they really didn't ask any questions. You could be, anything. You can be a murderer, you can be anything. Now, they kind of amended the approach to that because post-World War II, there was a lot of rumors going around that a lot of Nazis were trying to get recruited for this to get away from, you know, the whole the Nuremberg trials and everything of that sort. So they kind of modified that stuff post-World War II. But during this era, you have the French army getting the regiments. This could be anything from like cavalry. You can be airborne troops. I mean, today, just all facets of them. Algeria was a major area where this colonialism, they would throw in the legionaries there to, make sure everything, the French allegiance was present, if you will. Now, the legionnaire history, this
kind of focus. Such a deep movie.
Well, the legionnaire history is very deep. Yeah. It's rooted back in there. It's a pretty sick. I mean, there's a lot of YouTube videos about the harshness of it, what it is. You know, there's a lot of inhumane approaches. They would like break their will, just like any army practice. You know, you want to break the person's will so that way they're fully devoted, faithful, or loyal to the cause. And especially because most of them aren't French nationals. These are foreigners who are being recruited for the French army, and they're going to be recruited at places where they want to make sure the French government wants to make sure that their colonial ambitions are in check. So you have this film that starts from the 1920s in Marseille, southern France. It's great, and you have JCVD, who's a boxing champion. He's a comical character. Well, not comical. Yeah. People call him a comedian because he's joking around, throwing jokes here and there.
It's not a small budgeted movie. It's a big movie. A lot of extras.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
Big grandiose scenery.
Yeah, speaking of that, extras, you got a big cast. You know, you got, I know that Adewale, that guy. I mean, he's played in a lot of films.
Yeah.
What is it?
He's in a lot.
I think he's
of
been
them,
in Game of Thrones, even the show. But he was in Suicide Squad. He's been in, Legionnaire, of course, and The Mummy, all that stuff.
Yeah, he was in Mummy,
Yeah, he plays, he's a British actor.
He's in that HBO prison show.
Yeah, he plays Luther in this film. He's one of the other buddies who gets recruited. He plays an American recruit, and his is kind of like, it's almost like his is a symbolic gesture of the commentary of American racism.
He goes to the Legionnaire
to escape the racism of America. So let's face it.
Racism in America,
racist America, yeah. And you have other people. You have Guido, who's doing it to prove himself, so that way he can maybe prove himself to his father-in-law before he marries his wife, his future wife.
Yeah.
He shows a photo to everybody. And JCVD, has this compassion for this kid.
They're all colorful characters, all of them.
Yeah.
Would
you have a British gambling man?
With backstories, whoever wrote this script did their homework. They really
feels like it could have been characters. Right. It feels like it could have been a book or something.
Yeah.
Well, something leads to one thing leads to another, where JCVD finds himself in a pickle. Yes, a pickle, not a muscle, a pickle. The pickle in a sort where he commits murder, and he just pops on a trench coat and gets recruited, and they're like, off you go.
Well, he was supposed to throw the fight, right? He doesn't throw the fight.
Yeah, but you want to talk? Well, sure,
he's supposed to throw the fight. Yeah. He doesn't throw the fight.
The film wasn't important for me as far as the aspect of the plot. And
I know, but he's a boxer. He's supposed to throw a fight. He doesn't throw a fight.
He doesn't throw it, yeah.
Could be like a nod to Pulp Fiction, right?
He changes his mind for some reason. Nothing really motivated that moment. I think the guy whispers, his opponent whispers something in his ear. It doesn't really... We don't get a sense of what triggers it, really.
I felt like they were going for the character like Butch in Pulp Fiction, kind of that, but it didn't really work out. Yeah. If you had Bruce Willis playing this character...
Oh, he would have been great.
It would be a different movie. But if you do this...
If you have different actors playing different films, totally different film will come out.
But if you do... would it work with Bruce Willis? Yeah, but if you do this movie in French... Does it work better with Jean-Claude Van Damme? Instead of he's playing a French guy.
And he does a pretty good job.
He does a pretty good job. But
it feels like he's already attuned to the American Hollywood style of filmmaking.
Yeah,
he's not.
I still don't think
he's not Cyborg. You know, where he's not. Yeah. He's not talking much. Which you, we were arguing, Frank, like he's looking at these scripts and he could not even be understanding what the script is saying.
He's not Frank Rickenbacker, the guitar.
Yeah, the guitar. I remember that was Gibson, right?
Gibson Rickenbacker. That's Frank Gibson Rickenbacker or whatever.
No, here he's you know, good old Legionnaire. Alain, his name was Alain Duchamp, is his Legionnaire name, but his name actually was Alain Lefebvre, but everyone knew him as the champion boxer. Yeah, he throws it. Kind of like how Brad Pitt in Snatch throws it too, you know? He's supposed to like take a dive, he doesn't.
Oh, yes.
And then your favorite ringtone pops up.
That's
Golden
it.
Brown.
That's that a good plot. And Hollywood uses that a lot. The fighter that's supposed to throw the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't throw the fight.
He doesn't take a dive.
Audience is held in suspense.
His
pride gets to him. And then the audience is like, hey, fuck, just throw the fight. Everything will be great. But then the fighter starts this crazy chaos just for not throwing the fight. If he throws this fight, his brother doesn't get killed. Jean-Claude Van Damme's character.
Is that his brother? His brother gets killed.
His brother.
A brother for a brother, because he kills the mob boss's brother.
He would have been with his fiance and
which
moved
I forgot
to America.
Her name, which,
I did too.
But we can find it.
And they were supposed to move to America together, and everything's great. All he has to do, fuck, forget pride. Fuck pride.
That's how he talks.
Just like, no, that's from Pulp Fiction. You remember
Katrina.
The scene? Katrina. Yeah.
Katrina.
But
played
you remember,
by Anna Sofrenovich.
Remember the scene where the guy goes to Butch in Pulp Fiction. He goes, fuck pride. You think it's pride. You know, fuck pride. Just throw the fucking fight.
Yeah.
Ving
Rhames.
Ving Rhames. Yeah.
Ving Rhames is giving him advice.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but no rape scenes here.
Although, raping. None at all.
Although the Legionnaire general advised, once they get recruited enough to Morocco, he tells them, always keep a bullet in your pocket.
Yeah.
For yourself. Dum, dum, dum. Because you don't want to be held, held captive by these guys. They're, they're no joke. They mean business. But I wanted to say.
Yes, go ahead.
This is another, colonialism, the conquest and what have you, these ambitions by these superpowers of the world.
Yeah.
Now you have these commentaries that you have the natives who are pissed, and this is almost a commentary as like, you want to empathize with the main characters, but at the same time you do see empathy from them as well at the end, where their leaders also give them.
Who
that
are they
warning.
Trying to colonize? It's the native.
Moroccans.
What are they called? Bedouins?
Well, Bedouins, yeah. Bedouins, yeah. Which might be actual tribe in Morocco at the time during the 19... This is pre-World War II.
1920s. 1920s, yeah.
It's hitting the 30s, but it's not quite there yet. And they do show... the leader does show compassion there. Not compassion, but he does show gesture of goodwill.
And the main leader of the Bedouins, it's based on a real guy.
Yeah.
It's based on a real real person.
Well, there is an actual story of the Legionnaires where the Legionnaires were battling the Mexican army. And it came down, like thousands were slaughtered. And it came down to like three to five of them. And they just kept going at it. And when some of the people saw them, they're like, oh, these guys are the devils. They're like still going at it. So after about two or three left, the Mexican general just... praise them for being so, so gutsy, so heroic, and fighting till the end.
They're like the Spartans.
Yeah, they're not going down without a fight. So they did not.
What was the Mexican army doing in Africa?
This was another battle. So the conquest of not the conquest of Algeria, not the Crimean War, not the Italian campaign, the Mexican expedition. This was between 1863 to 67.
Whoever wrote the movie took parts of that the Mexican army and the Legionnaire story and put it in this film. So this is not, this really didn't happen.
They could have taken it from this moment because this actually happened in history. And during that, I think during that battle, the Jean d'Anjou, I don't know if you've ever heard of, you've seen the d'Anjou pears, haven't you?
No.
Okay, there's a pear. No. I don't know if you ever go to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, you see this pear. It says d'Anjou.
I go to Ralph's.
Yeah, no, not the... Yeah, Ralph's. I'm sure they'll have the d'Anjou pears. But d'Anjou is kind of spelled the same way. I think it's the same way as this man. So he was like one of the generals or one of the soldiers.
He's
of the
legionnaire. Legionnaire, yeah.
He had his hand chopped off. Mm. And he carried around the wooden hand. And that's why I feel like we should have probably done this on April 20th. Or is it April 30th? I'm not exactly sure. But there was, on the day of that remembrance, there's a celebration in France. And the wooden hand of General d'Anjou is held for a ceremony.
Really?
They take it down. Ah. There's a court, a little celebration in France that goes around for those honoring.
Didn't want to do this movie. Look at this. Look at all this that's coming up. All this bubbling up into the surface. All that we're learning in our loyal
that campaign.
Five followers are listening, are learning.
But that's neither here nor there. This is all on the internet.
Yeah.
But what we do want to give is insight about what we thought about this film. Now I know you loved this film.
I did not.
And I appreciated that it was available for free to watch because, God, was I not going to pay for this film. But I do like JCVD. I like his films. I grew up watching him as a kid. And
I wouldn't say I liked this film. I just thought it was very unique because I remember that at the time I had not heard of this film. I rented this film from...
I thought the exact words were lusting for Legionnaire. Was that not the case?
That was not the case. When I first saw this film, I remember it. I remember the day I saw it because I was at Blockbuster and...
You didn't say you were jonesing for Jean-Claude?
No, I was. I was at Blockbuster Video and the one on Sunset. Sunset and Hollywood, where it crosses, kind of. And right next to the Supercuts.
That's where I used to work.
Right next to the Lucky. the Lucky was, grocery store. It's called the Albertsons now, videos I think, or Avon.
The very same.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was at that Blockbuster.
20 years ago.
I was maybe 16 years old, and me and my brother and my dad, we would
40 years ago, you're talking about?
Fuck, it's a long time ago. But me and my brother, we were at this Blockbuster. We're picking out a movie, because back then you had to go to Blockbuster. You're like, hey, let's go fucking pick out a movie to watch. And there wasn't like...
How exciting was that, especially on a Friday night?
Yeah, so we're looking and along the walls, you know, for those Gen Zers that grew up with Netflix. Well, you had to go along the walls of the Blockbuster. Those were the brand new movies. They were VHS tapes or DVDs, if you could afford a DVD player, which was fucking $800 for a brand new
one. And usually on a weekend, those were all out.
Yeah. So I saw this movie on a VHS tape, and it was Van Damme's face, and it said Legionnaire. You know, the...
Yeah, he was.
I'm like, what the fuck is this movie?
I was donning the signature cap that the Legionnaires wear.
One of my favorite actors, action stars, has a movie I've never heard of before. Why? How? Because I had just seen The Quest in the theaters with my cousin and cousin Jack. We went and saw that movie together. I think we saw it at the Galaxy Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, and I saw this. VHS tape. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? And it was always stuck in my head.
Yeah.
It was a movie, Van Damme at the height of his career, about to fall hard, go straight to video.
Not even like small theaters here and there, like maybe a independent theater, nothing like that.
Kratos cried that day.
Yes.
Because it was the fall of God. Of a god, Kratos from
yes, the video I'm familiar.
or Zeus cried that day,
and it's
Jupiter pretty, cried that day.
It's a pretty compelling poster if you look at it. It's him staring you dead in the face.
Yeah,
with the backdrop of
and he's wearing the same
sub-Saharan, or like a Saharan desert.
Yeah.
Says fugitive from a killer.
And he's wearing the same uniform. Sorry, I'm going off topic
here.
But same uniform as the French army in The Mummy. You know, they're similar uniforms. And
perhaps
maybe,
it was the same time.
Yeah, maybe. Same.
Because I'm sure the French army was also in Egypt. But I know the British army was there. Maybe they swapped clothes.
Yeah, I think so. They were everywhere. The French were everywhere in Africa, yeah. You know, colonizing and doing their Frenchy things, bringing baguettes and sandwiches to the people. That's all they were doing.
Bringing baguettes to a colony near you.
That was all good fun.
Yeah.
Look at the banh mi sandwich from Vietnam.
Yeah, French bread.
French bread.
Well, of course, we know why.
Yeah.
Need not tell our audience.
Yeah. Look, French did some good in their colonies. They brought baguettes and bread and wine.
I thought you were being sarcastic. No,
this is not sarcasm.
No, any.
The colonizers are good.
Oh, yeah.
they are good.
Just
people.
Ask those avatars.
Yeah. Just ask the Navi.
The Navi people. Yeah.
Nerd alert. Huh?
But they're off to Morocco, right?
They're off to Morocco. We don't even have to get into the story of the movie.
This episode was about one actor, right?
Yeah, we don't
the man,
have to.
The legend.
He goes to the desert. Shit happens in the desert. And he's left with one bullet he gives to his friend. The friend shoots himself.
There's that Guido character.
The Moroccans think he's brave.
I mean, I guess it was a thing. He carried him along in the desert. They didn't want to leave him for dead. It's a code of ethics for legionnaires. But in the film, the general says, just leave him to die, but can't do that.
Yeah, Van Damme is righteous.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme's character, Alain, knows Alain. More about the ethics of the legionnaires, apparently, than the generals. So off they go.
He's a good guy.
They go to a one fortified area where, and then people, you said,
Bedouins.
The Bedouins,
they slaughtered everybody.
Yeah,
the legionnaires,
and they're not holding any hostages. I think they're just killing everybody.
Yeah,
his close buddy, poor man Luther, he dies as well.
Yeah.
From the hands of Alain.
Yeah.
He says, just do it, man. They're going to torture me here.
Yeah, reminded me of the scene from Last of the Mohicans where they're burning the guy alive and he just pops him from far away. Mercy killing.
Yeah. Don't you love that music?
Yeah, I do. It's still in my head.
That guy's one of my favorites.
If Daniel Day plays this character...
He could play any role.
If he played a French legionnaire...
He could have played the camels in this film, and it would have been immaculate. It would have been amazing.
Like, you take Van Damme, pop Van Damme out of this movie. Somebody paid for this movie. Millions and millions of dollars.
He's out. Who am I plugging in?
You plug in Arnold. Different movie.
Different.
He's Austrian. And it's
well, it would
legionnaire.
Still work because it's. But the thing is, with this one is his exception works because we know he's Belgian. But he's a Frenchman being recruited for this French legionnaire army.
French
but
part
usually
of
you're supposed to be a foreigner, I guess, based on the premise of this persona or what have you, or that they're implementing in this film.
He's kind of a foreigner.
Well, yeah. If he's Belgian, then it works. But if he's playing a Frenchman, then
he's playing
gonna,
a French guy. Yeah.
That he's gonna go and be recruited into this, then.
Put, like I said, Bruce Willis.
Bruce would work.
Like a New Yorker.
Jason Statham.
Well, he's... No, let's
Vin Diesel, you think he would work?
I think we should stick to the 90s
Vin
actors.
Diesel could work because, remember Riddick?
Riddick's
kind of
dead.
The settings also, like a desert.
Yeah,
Riddick. You've seen him running around in sand, so I can imagine him.
Well, I want to stick to the 90s actors of the time that were hot.
Dolph Lundgren.
You
can pull
this.
It off.
Yeah, he's a Swede, right? Swede? Or
Swedish.
Swedish.
Physicist, right, I think?
Bruce Willis as a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Playing this character.
Would you call
Samuel
L. Jackson an action star?
Sort of, kind of, not really.
Could he pull it off?
Maybe. Yeah, he could pull it off. I could see him pulling it off. John Travolta, he was big in Pulp Fiction, right? Maybe he's a legionnaire. How many, how this script, I mean, it goes, it's a process to make a movie in Hollywood. So you think this thing went around to Stallone, Arnold, Seagal.
Oh, and he got like
the and Bruce Willis and all these other actors of the time, and then suddenly it falls into JCVD's hands, and he's like, I'll do it. I will do this film. I will do it right now.
Yeah, you know, it takes place.
I do not understand, but I will do it. I will do it right now.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, because it doesn't have a lot of action sequences in terms of kicking and punching and stuff. It's mostly just shooting. So, shooters. I mean, you can
Jackie have Chan.
De Niro could even do this role. Jackie Chan, no.
No.
Jackie Chan, I mean, he's done films without
Nick
kicking,
Cage.
Kicking
could
and
Nick
punching.
Can Nick Cage do this movie? Can Nick Cage do
Cage
this movie?
Cage could pull it off.
If we do this movie in all French, does it work better? Just French, no English. Some English.
I think Demi Moore could probably pull this film off too.
G.I. Jane.
Yeah, it would work.
Except she'll be G.I. Jane.
Kevin Hart can do this role.
Yeah, you think I could pull off this role? As a legionnaire.
Throw a beret on you and find out.
As a Southern California legionnaire. Yeah, there isn't much else to talk about this film, the plot and everything. Whoever wrote this film, they did research about the characters, the setting. There was research done. There was lines of dialogue written. There was an effort made.
One would hope, yes.
A camera was placed.
Pointed on someone and kindly
said,
asked to
action.
Commit action. Yeah, commence the action.
Yes. Multiple people were asked to go to Morocco, bought plane tickets to Morocco, and showed up on location to shoot this film. A director,
efforts were made, is what you're saying.
A director held the clapper and clapped.
I'm sure.
Action.
I'm sure they did.
And lights were pointed.
Yeah.
There isn't much else to talk about this film. Because let's be honest. As much as I appreciate this film and the downfall that leads to Van Damme's story. Right. And then the Phoenix Rising again in 2008. It's not a good film.
For Jean-Claude Van Damme. Because, I mean, he's done such great films. And Legionnaire was maybe a desperation role. Trying to get something going from his dry spell. I mean, you look at his resume.
Sounds like my high school years. My dry spell.
Do-dum-tsh. Kickboxer. Got.
Yeah.
Universal Soldier. Got Double Impact. Lionheart.
He's coming off Time Cop.
Hard Target.
Hard Target. Beautiful movie.
Sudden Death. That one, they threw a setting.
Great movie.
You have a hockey
These
setting.
These are great movies.
Great movies. At least for us.
Yes.
Now, I never got a claim.
It's a great movie. He's coming off
None of these
Time
were nominated
Cop,
for anything.
But Time
or
Cop.
Not, at least not for the Oscars. Time there, Cop.
There's an anecdote.
Time Cop was probably, you mentioned it's the best film that he made, or
it's
the most expensive?
Highest grossing film he's ever made, which grossed
over. And he
got
paid for, I guess.
I think he made like $8 million or something.
That was the most he's made
for
that time.
Like that was, he was getting like $8 million a role now. He makes Time Cop, makes over $100 million. And after Time Cop, he goes, hey, I want that Jim Carrey cash. I want that Jim Carrey cheddar, which is $20 million a film. But the studio was like, we'll give you three films, $12 million. Backed by Universal Studios. Van Damme, that's a lot of coke he can buy.
It is a
he
lot.
He wants more coke.
So he wants a skiing role.
He wants to ski on that fucking coke with $20 million. And that's 1990s, $20 million, which is it's a lot of millions.
And him, and for JCVD, you can do it while doing the splits.
Yeah, you could. You could.
That's the sheer talent this man has.
Yeah, he's great.
I bet he's probably done it at a house party somewhere.
I'm sure he has.
He probably has gone.
As
like,
we're
hey,
getting
you guys,
our calls.
Hey, have you seen, you know, he's probably at Stallone's house doing at a party. And he goes, hey, you guys want to see me do the splits with a line of coke?
There is an anecdote about that where JCVD is at Stallone's house, and Seagal shows up, and Seagal's talking smack like, I could beat the shit out of anybody, including JCVD. His martial arts is fake.
Yeah.
And Van Damme challenges him to a fight. He said, let's go, you and that's me right now.
Yeah, yeah. And then apparently they...
Or Seagal it was somewhere else.
Yeah, I heard... Well,
he
it
leaves
was,
the party.
Allegedly, it was from a different place to Stallone's house, right? Or something.
Yeah, or and then some he comes, shit like that.
And then JCVD goes to Stallone's house. Stallone, I think... I don't know who's talking about, but it was on Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, and Seagal bitches out. He doesn't show up.
I mean, I don't know if it's bitches out. I mean, he probably knew he could take him.
Could I mean, he's a lot bigger than JCVD. JCVD's a small guy. What is he, like 5'8", 5'9"? He's not that big. He's pretty tiny. Seagal's like 6'3", 6'4". He's big.
And he's
a Aikido.
But also, like, he's...
Because once he...
He's a martial artist. I guess he's what you can... take and transition to the MMA of today. Well, like the UFC of today that's going on.
But Van Damme is a legit kickboxer. He's had over 20 fights. You know, he's trained with Chuck Norris. You can't knock this. But that Seagal is an Aikido guy, which is joint manipulation. Yeah. They grab your fingers, your wrists, and twists.
And they control you around like spaghetti.
Some say it's a bullshit martial arts, but it works in Seagal's case because he's so big. Because he gets a hold of you. He's so big and strong, 6'4".
Yeah.
And he could twist your fucking arm off because he's a giant motherfucker. But if you're, you know, small stature of a man and you get a hold of somebody, he's going to be like, hey, let go of me.
Yeah. But if you look at people in their prime, it's a question of, for me, it's a question of Chuck Norris versus Steven Seagal. Because clearly Chuck Norris would beat the crap out of... Yeah, but Chuck Norris and Van Damme, you already know because they've been in their prime together.
Yeah.
And clearly he manhandled them, right?
Well, Chuck Norris was in his 40s.
Still.
And Jean-Claude was 20, 21, 20, 21.
Yeah,
something
so there
like
you go. 40-year-old would still manhandle him at that moment. Because this man had Bruce Lee under his resume. You know, he fought against Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
And you said he broke his neck? Jesus. In the film.
In the film.
It's like a little crack. I'm like thinking, well.
The film, Return of the Dragon, Kong film.
Yeah, he gets his chest hair torn off,
ripped
off.
Where they're fighting in the Colosseum. And
it's great.
The
last
battle, Bruce Lee gets a hold of Chuck Norris's head.
Have you seen those little comical relief moments where they... You can take that scene and just add some romantic music to it, like Kenny G, and then suddenly turns into this
internet man.
The internet. It makes
Wild
us do
place.
Such things like do a podcast.
Yeah, coming to you live from the internet, folks.
In a remote.
Anyway.
LA
anything?
Location.
Anything to add to this film? Favorite scene? Anything? Anything you loved about this movie? Something, anything. Before we
I appreciated how it started in France. That was pretty cool. Because Marseille is a place I would love to visit.
Yeah. Okay. That's
never
cool.
been.
Okay. And me too. I've never been.
Maybe we should.
I've been to the Paris airport.
Maybe we should head there one day. It's a nice place, I hear. It's close to the Cannes film festivals.
There wasn't much I liked about this film. Because it's a sad film for me. It's a downfall of an icon. He becomes a
because
joke.
Because you learned about the history. But from the film, when you look at it, there's a sense of hope, right? He's off to a new adventure.
Yeah.
The film doesn't really go into it. It just cuts off. He's spared. And then he's left in the desert. He's got one would assume he's going to go and try to find Katrina, who apparently word's gone around that she's in America.
There is an alternate
love
ending.
Interest in this movie.
There's an alternate ending, it says, that was shot but not used, where he does reunite with his fiancée and he's about to kill the main bad guy, but he doesn't and just walks out with her.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to kill anymore. He's a legionnaire. He's seen so much. He just wants the love of his life.
Lucian Galgani, the mob boss.
Yeah. What a name.
Whose brother Alain had killed.
Yes.
But this film, right?
this magical Academy Award winning film. But no, this...
It was a film.
It was a film. Effort was made, like I said. UFC, huh, tonight?
There's a UFC tonight.
There is a UFC tonight. Volkanovski fighting.
We've been cordially invited.
We have been, and that's what we're going to go after.
Not cordially. There wasn't a letter sent out or anything. A text message.
A text. A group text inviting us to a UFC event. We're going to go watch this and see some kicks thrown, just like Van Damme's kicks. Anything else to add?
This is available for streaming on Freevee, Peacock, and you mentioned Amazon Prime. Hour and 39 minutes. Rated R for the graphic violence and, you know, the alleged torture scenes.
And no kicks thrown, except one kind of a kick.
Low kick.
Low kick.
It's thrown.
All right, so we're going to do that next movie, which you are going to select for us.
And that's what I was going to say. Yes, I've got a great film in mind, and we'll talk about it when the time comes. So I'm not going to mention it now, but it's...
You don't want Cousin Jack?
Oh, is this Cousin Jack's favorite film?
I don't know. What is this film? You tell me.
Oh,
this you don't want to spoil
is,
it?
This
you
is
don't
my
have
favorite
to.
Sci-fi film, and for some, it's one of the best sci-fi films.
Fifth Element.
Fifth Element's great up there too, and this one also has a special place in my heart, like I sent you. But I won't talk about it, because we'll talk about it in our next podcast.
After these commercial breaks.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a wrap, I guess, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Like and subscribe. I appreciate everybody that supports us.
Shitty comments. Throw them out there. Tell us why you are appalled by our presentation of this film. Or... if you thought this was a good educational episode about Jean-Claude Van Damme that you didn't know about. Or if you're just curious on how Legionnaire is spelled, it's got two N's, folks. Two N's.
And that's all, folks.
Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.